So today's scripture is from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had a dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. May God bless the reading of his word, and today's sermon is "God Has a Plan to Prosper You" by Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Ronald. Before we listen to the Word of God, let us come together and ask God to bless the following time as we study His Word. So please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your precious Word. We trust that you will use this morning's passage to speak to us. And so may you give us humility to listen to what you have to say to us, O Lord, and give us that determination, that courage to walk accordingly. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, how time flies. Since the beginning of this year, we've been studying the book of Genesis. We've been going through the lives of different patriarchs in the book. Starting today, we are going to study the life of Joseph. Joseph's life takes up the last main section of the book of Genesis, from chapter 37 to chapter 50. At the beginning of chapter 37, we find Jacob, Joseph's father, entering a new stage of his life. After he had made peace with his brother Esau, Jacob settled in Canaan, like his father Isaac. He was getting on with age, so he lets his son take over the family business of pasturing flocks. Joseph was part of the enterprise, even though he was only 17 years old at the time. As we will see in later chapters, he was instrumental in rescuing his father's entire family from a severe famine. As a result, he helped to preserve the life of Judah, his fourth brother, who would become the ancestor of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, Joseph's life illustrates an important fact, that God is always working in you, through you, and around you to accomplish his plan, his special plan for your life. In fact, He has a plan to prosper you, a plan that you can only begin to imagine. We see things and formulate things or plans that we think would be wonderful for ourselves. But God has something far more special for you and for me than we could ever imagine. The life of Joseph demonstrates at least four things which are helpful for us to realize God's plan for our lives. First, Joseph's life demonstrates that there is a special person inside you. As we begin to read the story of Joseph's life, we see right away that he was different from his brothers in character. Working alongside them, he heard and saw everything they said and did in the fields. And verse 2 says, he brought Jacob, their father, a bad report about them. Naturally, his action alienated him from his brothers. No one likes a snitch, right? But Joseph's action implies that his behavior is more righteous than his brothers. We don't really see it here in chapter 37, but later on we'll find out more about his behavior, his conduct. Being different is socially unacceptable. As you go to school, as you go to work, I'm sure you find out very quickly the crowd that you hang out with or the group of colleagues that you associate with. They want you to be the same, or they at least want you to be part of them. Being different is socially unacceptable. This may lead up to bullying and end in tragedy. We have heard in the news recently a number of cases of death as a result of bullying. In general, everyone wants to fit in. Everyone wants to be accepted. And it's not just young people, it's adults too. Now, the secret to popularity is conformity. The world tells us that to get along, you must go along. While the world calls us to conform, God tells us to do otherwise. The Bible warns us against conformity. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What this means is, do not let the world press you into its mold. Why not? It's because you are different. Each of you is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. No one in this world is exactly like you. God made you an individual, and you don't have to conform to the crowd. But there are those who are like whatever crowd they get mixed up with. Their conformity makes them popular, all right, but at the expense of their identity and at the expense of their principles. And so remember, you are unique in God's eyes. There is a special person in you, and there is only one and only one of you in this world. And so you'd be better off being popular with God rather than with people. I think of Daniel. Daniel in the Old Testament, while he lived in exile in Babylon, he took a stand that was the equivalent to social suicide. He rejected the Babylonian name given to him by the king and retained his Jewish name instead. He resolved not to defile himself with the king's food, probably because he wanted to avoid the temptations of an assimilation, complete assimilation into the Babylonian culture. Daniel chose to be different and desired to be popular with God rather than with the king. As a result, God blessed his life. We don't have to fit into anyone's mold to be accepted. The only person we have to please is God. If you are living your life in a manner that pleases God, then you are living the right kind of life. I never sell out to this world or to people who want to make you like them. Now make up your mind that you settle for nothing less than the approval of God upon your life. After all, God made you. He loves you and He died for you. And God really, you know, made you a unique individual. So when you recognize that fact, you'll be able to live in a way pleasing and acceptable to God. And your duty is to live for Him. Now, the second thing that Joseph's life demonstrates is there is a special plan for you. Verses 5 and 9 tell us that Joseph had two dreams. In them, God revealed the future to him. God showed him that one day all his brothers are represented by the sheaves of grain in the dream, and all the family members are represented by the sun, the moon, and the stars in the dream, in the second dream, would bow down at Joseph's feet. God had a special plan for Joseph's life, and He has a special plan for you too. There is something that God wants you to do and that no one else can do. He wants to work in you, through you, and around you in a very unique and special way. And so, if you know, or if you already know what that special plan is, that's good. And if you don't, you can ask God. You can ask God to reveal it to you. And He says to you in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Now, ever since I started schooling in Hong Kong, I've developed a very strong interest in English. In fact, English was my best subject in school. At the time, I had no idea that God would use my interest to do something special for my life. After high school graduation, I went to Edmonton for my tertiary education in 1974. While I was there, I got involved in the English ministry at a local church. At first, I simply wanted to learn more English. Gradually, I sensed that God was calling me into full-time ministry, pastoral ministry. And so I responded to God's call at the Wind Conference at Banff at the time. It was not held here. In the early years, the Winter Conference was usually held at Banff, Alberta. And that was the year 1975 when I responded to God's call. After I graduated from university, I went for my seminary education in Regina in the hope of serving as an English youth pastor. But it didn't happen after my seminary education. Instead, God led me back to Hong Kong. And naturally, I was unhappy and confused, to say the least. I asked God, "You call me into full-time ministry and let me get some training. How come no church hired me?" God answered me in His own time. When I started teaching in a Christian school in Hong Kong, I understood why God had led me back to Hong Kong. It was there in the school that I met my dear wife, Eva. God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And that's exactly what God had done for me. God has prepared for me a great partner in ministry all these years. Eva and I got married, and our family grew with the birth of our first child. And also life as a teacher in Hong Kong was very good, a good pay and long vacation. At the same time, I was active in church. I was the chair of a deacon board, teaching Sunday school and preaching from time to time. I was like a pastor. In time, God's call to me into full-time ministry faded away. To make the long story short, God had not forgotten me, had not forgotten His call to me in 1975. In an amazing and inexplicable way, He led me to a local church in Abbotsford in 1990. Now, at the time, I didn't know where Abbotsford was. I didn't know the church at all. And I didn't even apply for the position. And yet, God worked in an inexplicable and amazing way. By then, of course, I was too old to be an English youth pastor. However, I thank God for letting me take part in the English ministry in different capacities, in different churches. While I was in Seattle, I was even able to get involved in the ABC American Born Chinese Ministry. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." Pastoral ministry is filled with challenges and difficulties, but God's grace and power are sufficient for me. Pastoral ministry is full of hard times and heartbreaks, but God's mercy and compassion are abundant. God has got a special plan for me, and He makes sure that it will be fulfilled, albeit 15 years later. To live life with the knowledge that God had no plan for our lives would be like hell on earth. Always remember that you are a special person, created for a special purpose. God says to you today, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God said it in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And so as you seek God's guidance in carrying out His plan for your life, there will be those around you who will try to discourage you. There will be those who will hate you because you want to live in accordance with God's will for your life. And notice how Joseph's brothers reacted to him. They said to one another in chapter 37, verse 20, "Let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what come of his dreams." And there will always be those who are wet blankets. And they will tell you that your endeavor is either inconceivable, impractical, and impossible. Regardless of what the critics say about you, never let anyone stifle your plan or stifle you as you seek to live out God's will in your life. And Joseph's life demonstrates yet another thing. That is, there are special problems for you. True, God has a plan for Joseph's life. It, however, doesn't mean that Joseph was exempt from problems and trials in life. In verse 18, his brothers conspired against him. In verse 21, he was thrown into the pit. In verse 28, he was sold as a slave. And in chapter 39, he was falsely accused of sexual assault. And in chapter 40, he was thrown into prison. Joseph was forsaken by his family. He was forgotten by his friends. And he was frustrated by his failures. Now, I believe all these things were part of God's plan for his life. Now, while he was living at home, Joseph was his father Jacob's protege. He was like a plant in a greenhouse which had never been exposed to the elements. Being exiled from home, he was forced to face the harsh realities of life. Under such circumstances, he couldn't but draw near to God and depend on Him alone. Now, none of us welcome adverse circumstances or negative criticisms, but that's what life is. Life is unfair. Let's look at Jesus Christ's short life here on earth. He came into this world, suffered, and was crucified, not for His own sins, but for ours. Then what makes us think that life will treat us fairly? Why did misfortunes happen to young Joseph, who was guilty of nothing more than obeying God's will for his life? The answer is found in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. There, Joseph was talking to his brothers after their father Jacob's death. Joseph said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, at the saving of many lives." Joseph's life in the Old Testament illustrates a very important promise in the New Testament, and that is found in Romans 8:28. There, the Bible says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, at the moment, your life may be very easy. You may be in an unpleasant situation. You may be dealing with a tough issue, or you may be carrying a heavy load. I pray that the following points will help you weather the storms of your life. And the first point I want to share with you is this. Well, you have heard this. The first point I want to share with you, in case you are facing some challenges in life. The first point is, God is always guiding you. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm." And the second point is, God is always guarding you. Just now we sang the song, right? At the beginning of the song, it says, I look up to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And then in the same psalm, chapter 121, verse 5 to 8, the psalmist continues, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Now, there's still one more point, and that is, God is always gauging you. Psalm 105, verse 17 to verse 19 is actually about Joseph. Joseph was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. So the Lord is watching always. The Lord is always guiding you, guarding you, gauging you. And the Lord is always growing you. He is constantly helping you to grow in all circumstances. And God is not as concerned about delivering us out of our trial as he is more concerned about us growing in the trial. He is in the business of building up his people. Joseph's life demonstrates that there is a special person inside you. There is a special plan for you. And there are special problems for you. And lastly, there is a special person with you. When our life is beset with problems, we often feel lonely and abandoned. Even God seems nowhere to be found. I'm sure Joseph sometimes felt the same in the midst of misfortunes in those years in Egypt. However, God was still and is still in control. Repeatedly, the Bible tells us that God was ever with Joseph in chapter 39. In everything Joseph faced, he had a helper and a companion. It will be helpful for us to see just how God was with Joseph over all these years, all those years. First, God was with Joseph in servitude. Even though Joseph was a slave, he conducted himself like the ruler God was preparing him to be. Instead of griping, complaining, whining, belly aching, and fussing about his situation, he just served Potiphar, his Egyptian master, and did the best job he could do. And then God was with Joseph in seduction. Potiphar's wife tried everything in her power to seduce Joseph, but he stood strong in God and fended off her advances. God was teaching Joseph that no price could be placed on a clean conscience. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his conscience clean. And God was with Joseph in suffering. Even when Joseph was forced to endure the shame of false imprisonment, God was with him and blessed him. I don't need to go on, because you know the rest of the story. You know the life history of Joseph, like the back of your hand. God turned tragedy, temptation, torment, and trouble into a great triumph. God brought all Joseph's dreams to pass, teaching Joseph and teaching you and me today a lesson found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7. Let us read these two verses together. Please join me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God had never abandoned Joseph in his problems and trials, and Joseph had never quit on God. He never stopped believing. He never stopped trusting until God brought to pass everything in his life that God wanted to do. And through all those things, Joseph never wavered. He never compromised, and he never flinched at what God allowed in his life. As a result, he won a wonderful victory. And so can we. So can you. Well, brothers and sisters, sometimes it may look like the world, the flesh, and the devil are winning. But remember, with God on your side, you will always win. And because God has a plan for you to prosper you, he will make sure that it will come to fruition. It will be fulfilled. And so keep trusting, because God is shaping and molding you in all circumstances. If you try to escape, or if you try to avoid all these circumstances, I'm afraid you will miss out on a lot of blessings God may have in store for you through those circumstances. God is preparing a great victory for you to enjoy. And so let us hang in there. And if you know God's special plan for you, thank God for that and stick to that plan. And if you don't know, ask God, because God has given you a promise. Ask him and he will show you. Ask him, he will show you the great and unsearchable things that you don't know. Just wait and see when God reveals his plan for you, how God is going to bless you wonderfully. Things that you can only begin to imagine. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your creation of us. All of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we thank you for your amazing salvation for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And with that salvation come many amazing, wonderful promises. So Lord, as we journey through life, may you help us to remain steadfast in faith, to help us stay connected to you. And let us not waver. Let us keep trusting you, because we believe that the plan you have for our lives will be fulfilled, because you will make sure that it will, because you are the one who have given us that special plan. And so, Lord, help us live this life here on earth to the full, not for our own sake, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.